Pastor spoke to us from Psalms, showing us that when we're in need of help and strength in times of offences and aggression coming at us, the place to go, as King David did, and we heard about that last week, is God. When we're in a tough place, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but we run to God, we interrupt our thinking, we choose God, and we live for God's glory. Did I get that right? That's what I call a personal spiritual maintenance. Amen. Thank you for that, Kevin. Today I want to look into God's word, into Timothy's life, who was also, when Paul wrote to him, was also in a tough place. Paul's second letter to Timothy is written from prison. And now, Paul was in prison quite a few times, and this is the last time he's in prison before he dies. He was chained in prison as a common criminal, and his life was drawing to an end. And concerned about the church, he writes to Timothy. And he's concerned about the suffering and the persecution through the wicked Emperor Nero, who at the time was doing awful things to Christians. And he wrote knowing that Timothy was in this tough place. Now, I know that everyone here at certain times, certainly according to Alistair's words, have been in a tough place. We all get there. We're all in that place from time to time. And he was there suffering, and he writes to Timothy in a tough place to continue to suffer for the gospel. Are you, this morning, as we begin our look at this, are you prepared to suffer for the gospel of Christ here in Sunnybank in Southside? Now, you may think that's an exaggerated question. Not so. Persecution is taking place not only in those other countries of the world that Arnie mentioned in his prayer, but they're taking place right here in Australia. And it's growing at a rapid rate in the Western world. Today in Australia, serving the Lord is becoming a mission that is facing opposition and aggression from all sides of the community. We've seen some of that recently, and Pastor Kevin mentioned it, and you've all seen it in the news about Israel Folau and the attacks on his life. For quoting the Bible, whichever way you look at it, for quoting the Bible, he has been ridiculed. And he's lost his career in rugby. In fact, because he has not backed away from the consequences, he's been vilified and likened to all the bad things that are happening in our society. One report, however, quite rightly highlighted the fact that his situation was like the martyrs of the second century in the amphitheatre with the lions attacking them and those being burned at the stake. And that was the case in many, many people's lives in the second century. One such second century, and we'll call them martyrs because that's what we know them as. One such second century martyr was a man called Polycarp. He was the bishop of Smyrna, which is now in modern Turkey. And he died at the stake. They took him away to tie him at a stake and burn him. And so they took him away and they tied him to the stake. They lit the fire and it wouldn't kill him. So eventually, because of that, they stabbed him to death. And the reason they did that was because the law in those days was that you worship the emperor as Lord and not Jesus. And when they took him away, as they were taking him from his home, they gave him one last chance to deny Jesus and call Caesar Lord. This is what he said. 86 years I have served him, and he has never done me wrong. Why should I deny him now? And there are many others at that time, and we'll talk about someone else a bit later, but there are many others at that time that stood firm in Christ Jesus and were burned at the stake. Right now, indeed, in Canada, and some of you may have read this report during the last week or two, in Canada, the government is forcing sanctions on medical practitioners, on doctors, to agree and assist in euthanasia, with euthanasia. Or, if they disagree with it, to send the details on to another doctor who will do the job. And if you do neither that, if you refuse to do it or refuse to send the details on to another doctor, you can be written off the doctors or whatever they call it. You, where's our doctor today? Delisted, is it?
Deregistered,
yes. Thank you. In many cases, we also don't even recognize the subtle ways these things are happening to people in the church in general. I don't necessarily mean us today, although it may. I want you to listen. Let me give you an example of this, and it comes from what I call the often used journalistic agendas shaping our thinking. With regards to Israel Folau, for instance, one headline read like this, and I quote, "Israel Folau's fight for religious freedom leaves behind an ugly mess." There's nothing ugly about the gospel. Amen? There is nothing ugly about the gospel. But the words in that headline paint a picture in the minds of ignorant readers. And our whole of our society is being influenced by journalistic headlines that are in opposition to God and his people. And so, the body of Christ is under fire. Now, is it new? No, it's not new. It's not new. Paul knew this, and he wanted Timothy to come out and do something in the midst of opposition. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, if you would, please. As we look, or your phones, or whatever you use. As I said, I've got no overheads today. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, there are many things we learn. But I want to focus on the words that Paul says in chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And I'll read it out to you. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come," this is so true, "for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear." Wow. That's what the news is doing right now to a lot of people. "They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." There's a charge to Timothy. And I want to put it to you this morning that that is not just a charge to Timothy, that's a charge for all of us. Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Let's look first of all at the word. Preach, he says, preach the word, the logos. It's the word of God. It's the direct communicated word of God to mankind, to the creation, to his creation, to the ones he loves, to the whole of everything, of every person that ever lived or ever will live. And so it direct communicates a message from God. It's not a storybook, although it contains stories. It's not an instruction book, although there are instructions therein contained. It's not a love story like a Mills and Boons thing, but boy, does it contain a lot of love. God's love for you and me, for mankind. It's none of those things, and yet in its own right, it's all of them. It's God's heart. It's God's heart. It's his very being, his nature, and above all, it's his message crying out to his beloved creation. How will mankind know God? Through his word. Through his word. What did Paul say about the word in Scripture? Going back, if you look back in chapter 3, for instance, in verse 16, and it's been a memory verse for many of you in Sunday school, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, come on, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And thanks, Philip, wherever you are, you put on my favourite memory verse, the first one I ever learned this morning. You put it on this morning from Proverbs 3, 4 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. That's by the by. One man knew this. His name was Andrew Young. He was a U.S. ambassador to the United Nations many, many years ago. And you can tell by the quoted prices, dollars that I mentioned, that it was a long time ago. All right? But when he was addressing graduates from the Maryland University, he said this. He said, I recommend that you get a Bible. Not only that you buy a Bible, but you read it every day. Read it every day. It won't hurt you at all, and it will give you more illumination and purpose in life. And he carries on to say, it's better to invest now $10 to buy a Bible than $25 an hour later on in your life to pay a psychiatrist. Secondly, we are to preach the word. We are to tell others. Tell how God longs for his relationship with mankind that was broken when Adam and Eve walked away from God. How that relationship, we're to tell them how that relationship can be restored. For God so loved the world. This has been brewing on my heart for weeks and weeks and weeks. God loves mankind so much, it's indescribable. And this passage in Timothy, it's directed at Timothy, but it's for all of us. We are to tell others. What are we to tell them? We're to tell them the gospel, the good news, without missing anything out. When Adam and Eve walked away from God, they fell short of his glory. And they took mankind with them. It's called sin. Sin. There's no other word for it, and to call it by any other name is to disguise the enormity of the condition. And it also brings God down to being merely a God, with a small g, rather than the God. So, preaching the word, telling others about God, must always contain the condition of sin. Don't disguise it. Sin, it is falling short, comes from falling short. Imagine, if you will, and I've done this illustration before, but I don't care. It doesn't matter if you've heard it a million times. Falling short, imagine an archer. He's aiming with his bow and arrow to get the target, the bullseye. All right, target's over here. He's over here shooting. Hitting the target is the requirement for mankind in order to have a relationship with a holy God. Because of that day in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve did their own thing and were banished from the garden, no human being ever since has been able to hit the target. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short. Just imagine that board is the target and the arrow's coming through the air. It should be aimed at there, but it's falling short every time. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, we're all eternal. And falling short of God's glory means we are never going to be united with the one true God who created us and who loves us. And we're never going to be in the presence of him ever again in heaven. His dwelling place. God, because of his very nature, cannot be one at one with sin. In fact, his wrath is poured out upon sin, which means punishment. And this punishment is eternal separation from God. And the Bible quite clearly calls eternal separation from God the place of hell. Now, it might be asked, well, if no one hits the target, we're all heading for hell, right? Not so. Hallelujah. Not so. There's an archer that can hit the target every time on your behalf. His name is Jesus the Christ. And here's how he does it. He took the punishment for your sin and for the sins of the world, past, present, and future, 2,000 years ago on a cross. And he rose 3 days later from the death on the cross to bring new life. Hallelujah. New life. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 2:24, it puts it like this, when he's quoting Isaiah 53:6. He, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let's go back to Paul in prison for a moment, shall we? He's in prison with Silas at this time. And as we read in the book of Acts, suddenly the prison doors are blown open. And all the chains of the prisoners fall off. and the guard there, he's so petrified, he's going to get blamed for this, and he doesn't want to die a death like the Christians would die in those days. And so, having heard what Paul had been speaking about while they were in jail, he went up to Paul and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And here's Paul's reply. And it's the same for all who ask the question. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Ask Jesus to shoot the arrow on your behalf. You can't miss the target when you do that. How does one believe or ask Jesus to shoot the arrows? The Bible that we are, or the word that we are charged by Paul, and Timothy's charged, and you and I likewise are charged, the word is to preach to others, to tell others. And Paul says, preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. The word tells us to confess our sin and repent. In the book of Acts, Peter declares, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent. You go in one way in life, your sinful life, and repent means an about turn to go to God's way. We sing that song, No Turning Back. No turning back. Away from sin and towards God by confessing sin and declaring your belief in Him. That's what the Word of God tells us. And right now, if nothing else is remembered, I want to emphasize one thing. The Bible says that God so loved the world. Please tell this to everybody. But do not let them think that His love for them will be enough to hit the target and diminish their sins. Sure, sin will not change God's love towards anyone. Sin does not diminish God's love, but it will prevent entry into the presence of God in heaven. God loves the world, even sinners. But it won't change His mind about dwelling with them in eternity. Thirdly, and in conclusion, the truth of the message we are to preach and to tell others is the greatest message of all time. And it's full of love, it's full of joy, it's full of truth, it's full of contentment and kindness and integrity and encouragement and all the superlatives that you can think of contained here in God's word, the story that we must tell people. And we're to do it in season and out of season. The Christian and Missionary Alliance, that's the organization that we belong to, has as its core the urgency to tell the good news to people wherever it might be. And in our case, it's in the past, it's been overseas. Our founder, A.B. Simpson, wrote many, many hymns that emphasize that. And one of them that he wrote was, "Go and tell them." I'm not going to sing it for you, but the chorus ends up by saying, "Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful men. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again." Look it up in the old hymn book. Then you won't need to listen to the rest of what I've got to say. Matthew Henry, in his Volume 1 commentary, speaks of the urgency in Timothy's text. "Preach the word in season and out of season. In season, when it is easy and people are ready to hear it without taking offence." "Out of season, when minds are closed and culture is offended." Either way, the Holy Spirit makes the impact on sinful lives, sinful people's lives, makes the impact on lives full of sin. We simply obey the word and tell the story and let God do his work. You see, when you tell someone in season or out of season, and God has been working on it by his Spirit, he's already done the motivation and the enlightenment for you. All you have to do is, and I'm a salesman, okay, all you got to do is close the sale. Sorry, I didn't mean to diminish God's word, but that's our job. Now, Paul continues to explain how also in verse 2, "Preach the word in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." In terms of the Israel flower post, he was preaching the word out of season. It was difficult and it offended many. Out of season, to people not ready to hear the truth. Nevertheless, he did it. And from what I've heard, his fellow players and friends and family and so on say it came out of love, not religious condemnation, that the journalistic reports portray it to be. Now, I'm sure that from time to time, all of us in here we've all told the message of the gospel in season and out of season. We've all mentioned and spoken the gospel to people that have said yes, and we've all done the same to people that have said, "Oh, go away, don't want to hear it. That's just not for us anymore." However, in our country in the 21st century, that preaching the gospel is receiving much opposition. I want to ask you in conclusion, will you continue to tell it to the world? Tell to the world of dying men and women, and will you take Paul's charge to Timothy as one for yourself? It's not easy. In fact, it can be both very scary and even dangerous, even in our society. And so, before I pray, I want to conclude with another story from the second century. It's the events of Blandina's life. Who's heard of Blandina? One. The pastor, he studied it, and maybe a couple of others. It was the year 177 in Lyon, now in Gaul, now modern France. Christianity had first come to Lyon 25 years earlier. Guess who sent a missionary there? Polycarp, the Bishop of Smyrna. And he sent Pontinus as a missionary there. And Pontinus had diligently established the Church of Christ in Lyon. As the church grew, spiritual resistance began to mount and persecution against Christians increased. Christians were shut out of businesses, kicked out of their homes. They endured all kinds of shame and personal injuries. Mobs formed to beat and stone and to rob them. And when believers were arrested and tested, as Polycarp was, and all of them were at the time, they were held in prison until the governor of that area came along to see them. Well, among this group in 177 was a slave girl called Blandina, who had already endured every imaginable torture and cruelty. Blandina was suspended on a stake and exposed to wild beasts. They weren't going to burn her this time. They were going to put her on a stake in the middle of the field, in the middle of the amphitheatre, and release wild animals. Of course, they'd douse her with, well, today we'd call aniseed would bring animals, but all things that would bring animals, hungry animals to feed on her. And because she appeared on the stake to be hanging like Jesus was on the cross, her fellow Christians saw her, started praying with her. She was praying fervently and they prayed for her. They thanked God that Christ had died for them as they watched her. None of the beasts went near her. They threw her back in prison, and sometime later, she did die from torture. They wrapped her in a net, in a big fishing net, put her into the amphitheatre, and released the wild bulls, and they killed her. Blandina and her colleagues are memorialized by a marker that you can visit today at a place of, at the place of their martyrdom in Lyon, France. Today, the opposition is not the same, not in the same form, but just as motivated and just as scary. Will you stand against it and preach the word in season and out of season? Let's pray. Oh Lord. All these years we have served you, some more than others. And all the love that's come our way and the joy that's in our lives. How can we deny you now? Lord, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Charge each one of our hearts, each one of our lives, to preach the word in season and out. To live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.